Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Mario Ritter Jr. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today, Jill Robbins tells us how one American state is testing its voting machines ahead of next month's elections. Anna Mateo and Andrew Smith present this week's Education Report. Finally, we hear today's lesson of the day. But first,
elections officials across Pennsylvania have begun testing their voting machines using a method known as logic and accuracy testing. It will be important to know how the machines will perform under the pressure of the hard use they will experience during the election. All election equipment used by Pennsylvania counties is put through this pre-election stress test. A stress test is a way to find out how something performs under pressure. Pennsylvania law requires all its counties to conduct logic and accuracy testing before any election. All other states do similar testing. Forrest Lehman is Director of Elections and Registration in one Pennsylvania county. "Really, we are testing the voting system end to end," he said. "It's almost like we're running a small-scale election." During logic and accuracy testing, election officials create sample ballots. Some of these are made to fail or cause errors in the machines. The officials put the samples through the machines to make sure they are counting votes accurately and noting errors. Mark Lindemann is Director of Policy and Strategy at Verified Voting, a group that studies voting technology in the U.S. He said that logic and accuracy testing, combined with post-election audits of the voted ballots, show that voting machines are doing what they're supposed to do. Pennsylvania counties have until 15 days before the election to confirm that they have completed the logic and accuracy test. County officials must tell the heads of local political parties when and where they are doing the testing. The Pennsylvania Department of State says counties should also notify the public. The public can choose to observe the testing. Snyder County Director of Elections Devin Rhodes said his county's testing is set to begin in October and finish in 3 days. Rhodes said anybody who wants to watch Snyder County's testing is welcome. "We're open and transparent," Rhodes said. "If I have a person who is questioning or doesn't believe in the system," he says, "he will show them how it works." Other county election officials say they will run their tests over the coming weeks. After the testing, officials reset the machines and keep them in a secure location until they go out to the voting places for Election Day. Pennsylvania is considered an important swing state in this year's presidential election. A swing state is a state where candidates from the nation's two main political parties share similar levels of support among voters. This year, Democratic Vice President Kamala Harris and former Republican President Donald Trump are both seeking to win Pennsylvania's 19 electoral votes. Election Day in the U.S. this year is November 5th. I'm Jill Robbins.
A yearly report on international study shows the number of Chinese students in the United States
fell by a small amount last year. Meanwhile, a growing number of Chinese students are choosing to go to less costly countries like Britain and Australia. Experts say the cost of studying in the U.S., a struggling Chinese economy, and tension between the two countries are reasons for the changing numbers. The number of foreign students studying in the U.S. during the 2022-23 school year passed 1 million for the first time since the COVID pandemic. That information comes from Open Doors, the yearly report on international study. While the U.S. saw a 12% increase in foreign students in 2022-23, the number of students from China fell by 0.2% to 289,526. China still had more students in the U.S. than any other country that year. India was the second largest country to send students to the U.S. in 2022-23, with 268,923 students. That represents an increase of 35% from the previous year. In the 2021-22 school year, the number of Chinese students in the U.S. fell 9%. The COVID pandemic saw Chinese student numbers in the U.S. drop in 2020-21 by nearly 15%. That number is about the same as the drop in students from all parts of the world in 2020-21.
Vincent Chen advises Chinese students about studying abroad. He is based in Shanghai. He said most of the students he advises are still interested in studying in the United States. However, he also said there are growing numbers of students applying to study in Britain and Australia. If you just want to go abroad, a one-year master's degree in the UK is much cheaper, Chen said. Many people can't afford to study in the US, so they have to settle for the next best thing. Data from the nonprofit U.S. group College Board Research shows that in the 2023-24 academic year, the average cost for a U.S. private college four-year education increased 4% to $41,540 compared with the previous academic year. Foreign students, including Chinese students, also study in public U.S. universities. Those schools are generally less costly than private colleges.
The British Council said 3 to 4 years of undergraduate tuition in Britain costs as little as $15,000 per year. The number of Chinese students in Britain was 154,260 in 2022-23, according to the UK Higher Education Statistics Agency, HESA. That is about 22% higher than in 2018-19, when the number was 121,145. Australia's Home Affairs Office said in the 2023-24 program year, China was the top foreign country for new students at 43,389, up slightly from the previous year. Chen gave two other reasons more Chinese students are choosing to study in Britain and Australia. Chinese media's negative image of the United States and concerns about unfair treatment in the U.S.
Bruce Zheng is a Chinese citizen who received his master's degree in Europe after studying in China. He told VOA's Mandarin service that he had such an incident happen to him after he was admitted to a U.S. university's PhD program. When he entered Boston's Logan International Airport last year, Zheng said customs officers questioned him for more than an hour about his research. They asked him if it had any connections to the military. And he said they took his computer and mobile phone for examination. Zheng was permitted to enter the U.S. for his studies in materials science. Still, the questioning left him so upset that he has told other Chinese to study elsewhere.
Cui Kai is a study abroad advisor based in the American VOA Mandarin that experiences like Zheng's, or worse, happen for a reason. Cui said those students who are questioned or denied entry have usually come to the U.S. for advanced study in an area related to security. Former U.S. President Donald Trump signed Proclamation 10043 in June 2020. That ruling denied visas to any Chinese student who had studied or worked in an organization connected to China's military-civil fusion strategy. The U.S. says China has been using students and researchers to get important technology. Under Proclamation 10043, the U.S. took away more than 1,000 visas given to Chinese nationals and has denied thousands more. Critics say the policy is costly to the U.S. and is making Chinese students look to universities in Europe and other places. I'm Andrew Smith.
And I'm Anna Mateo.
Andrew Smith joins me now to talk more about this week's education report. Hi, Andrew. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Ashley. Thanks for having me on the show.
So in the report, we heard from Vincent Chen, who advises Chinese students about studying abroad. He said that if students do not have the money to pay to study abroad in the United States, they may have to settle for the next best thing. Can you explain that phrase, to settle for the next best thing?
Sure. Settle for is a phrasal verb. Phrasal verbs have two or more words, the main verb and particles, which are short words like the word for in our example. If we settle for something, that means we accept a choice or situation that is not the one we want the most. When Vincent Chen says Chinese students settle for the next best thing, he means studying in the U.S. is what the students want the most, but they accept studying in Britain or Australia.
All right. Thanks so much for that helpful explanation, and thank you again for coming on the show.
You're welcome. Thank you, Ashley.
VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children. It is called Let's Learn English with Anna. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com.
My name is Andrew Smith.
And I'm Jill Robbins.
You're listening to The Lesson of the Day on the Learning English Podcast. Welcome to the part of the show where we help you do more with our series, Let's Learn English. The series shows Anna Mateo in her work and life in Washington, D.C.
What do those two sounds you heard have in common? Today's lesson is about some fun and, we hope, interesting ways English connects words, spelling, and sounds.
Or maybe about the ways their spellings don't seem to connect to sounds, since English spelling can be difficult. But don't worry, this is not going to be a spelling lesson. Think of it more like a sound lesson.
We'll have more to say about that phrase, a sound lesson, a little later. But now let's join Anna in lesson 26 of the series. As we explained in another podcast lesson, Anna is playing a game on her phone. It's a scavenger hunt where she tries to learn more about U.S. history. Let's join her.
When you find an American symbol, you win points and a fun fact about a U.S. president.
Yay! I found Uncle Sam, and I won 40 points. What is the fun fact?
Franklin Roosevelt was the first to fly in a plane as president.
I didn't know that. This is a really beautiful memorial. This is the Lincoln Memorial. Where is the symbol? I found it. The Statue of Liberty. Please give me my fun fact.
Abraham Lincoln was a great wrestler.
I didn't know that. Lincoln wanted freedom for all people. So the Statue of Liberty works well. And I won 20 points. Time to find the next symbol.
You heard the word symbol three times in that exchange.
When you find an American symbol, you win points and a fun fact about a U.S. president.
This is the Lincoln Memorial. Where is the symbol? And I won 20 points. Time to find the next symbol.
A symbol is a shape, object, sign, in short, any visual thing that represents an idea.
We use symbols all the time, such as the plus sign in mathematics to represent addition. And we use symbols to represent many, many kinds of ideas.
In the scavenger hunt game, Anna and Dan are looking for a very important symbol in American history and culture. It's so important that it's worth 100 points in their game. Here's Dan and Anna in lesson 25 of the series.
What symbol are you looking for now?
I am looking for the bald eagle. That is 100 points. It should be near the Washington Monument.
Ah, yes, the bald eagle. It is a large bird that hunts small animals and fish. When it is older, the feathers on its head turn white. That's why they call it bald, which means having no hair on your head.
Oh, like me.
Yeah, kind of. But let's not digress or move away from the main idea of our lesson. Many Americans see the bald eagle as symbolizing freedom and strength.
Symbolize is the verb form of the noun symbol, and symbolic is the adjective. And that sound you heard earlier? Well, that's the sound a bald eagle makes.
But what about that other sound?
That's the sound of a symbol.
Hey, wait, are you trying to confuse our listeners?
Haha, a little bit. But here's the idea. The bald eagle is a symbol. That's spelled S-Y-M-B-O-L. But there is also an object used in music called a symbol. That's spelled C-Y-M-B-A-L.
Two words that make exactly the same sound in English are called homophones. And there are many of them. Here are a few examples. Cell, spelled C-E-L-L, like the cells in your body, or like a cell phone, and sell, S-E-L-L. That means to take money for something.
And we have flower, spelled F-L-O-U-R, which we use for making bread, and flower, F-L-O-W-E-R, the colorful blooms on plants such as a rose, daisy, or sunflower. Jill, why do you think English has so many homophones?
It's because English developed as a combination of different languages. As a result, it mixed the spelling system of the languages, which is why we have several ways of spelling the same sound.
That makes it interesting, but also difficult for people learning English.
That's true. There are spelling rules for English that a learner can follow, but there are also a lot of words that break the rules.
And, of course, many English words have letters that are not pronounced at all. We call these silent letters.
And now, the silent letters.
Actually, we're going to talk about only one silent letter today. But let's get there by listening to Anna in Lesson 26 of the Let's Learn English series.
When you find an American symbol, you win points and a fun fact about a U.S. president.
Yay! I found Uncle Sam, and I won 40 points. What is the fun fact?
Franklin Roosevelt was the first to fly in a plane as president.
I didn't know that. This is a really beautiful memorial. This is the Lincoln Memorial. Where is the symbol? I found it. The Statue of Liberty. Please give me my fun fact.
Abraham Lincoln was a great wrestler.
And how do we spell that last word you just heard? Wrestler? It sounds like the letter R.
The word has the letter R, but it has a silent letter before it. Listeners, what letter do you think that is?
Here's a hint. You can write someone an email. How do you spell that verb I just said? The verb right.
That's right. Oh, I mean, that's correct. You spell it W-R-I-T-E. And wrestler is spelled W-R-E-S-T-L-E-R.
Wrestling is a sport where you try to hold your opponent onto the ground.
Here are three pairs of words that are homophones, and where one of the words in each pair begins with the silent W. When you hear each pair, see if you can think of the two words that match the sound but are spelled differently. Ready? Listen.
Right.
Right.
Rest.
Rest.
Wrote.
Wrote.
You already know what it means to write your name, but write, R-I-T-E, means a traditional or religious ceremony.
You know what it means to rest when you are tired, but rest, W-R-E-S-T, means to grab something or take something from somebody else, often with some difficulty.
Yesterday, Jill wrote her name, but wrote, R-O-T-E, is doing or learning something just by repeating it over and over without thinking much or understanding much about it. We usually put the preposition by before the noun wrote.
Right. And that's R-I-G-H-T. For example, we can say the student studied only by rote.
There's the sound of that American symbol again, which brings us back to the phrase, a sound lesson. The word sound is most commonly used as a noun, but we can also use the word as an adjective with a different meaning.
If something is sound, that means it is done correctly. The adjective sound can also describe a building or structure that is strong and without important defects.
So, we hope this lesson of the day has been a sound lesson for you.
And since we've talked a lot about sounds, if we use the noun, we can call today's lesson a lesson in sound.
Now, let's see if Anna and Dan found the bald eagle. Let's listen to more of Lesson 26.
This game is a lot of fun. What's your name?
Dan. What's yours?
Anna.
Like Americana.
Yeah, I guess so.
Did you find any symbols?
Yes, I found three, and I won 120 points.
Me too, but did you find the bald eagle?
No. Did you?
No.
First one to find it wins.
Hey, Anna, look out for that tree.
I learned a lot about presidents with this game, but I ought to be more careful. Till next time.
Until next time means it's also time for us to go. Keep listening and reading for homophones in English.
And remember that you can learn more on our website, learningenglish.voanews.com. You can also find us on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram.
Thanks for listening to the Learning English Podcast. I'm Jill Robbins.
And I'm Andrew Smith.
That's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Mario Ritter Jr.